Trust you, Lord, no matter what everything looks like around us, God, we can trust you. You are faithful. Lord, you are our shield and our portion, Father God. It says in your word, Father, that under your pinions, Father God, you cover us with your pinions, and under your wings we can seek refuge. And God, we trust in you. We trust in you because he has known my name, because he calls on me. I will be with him. With a long life, I will satisfy him. Thank you, Father. We just praise you today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
So, good morning. I want to say it's good to see everybody. I know there's some people probably in their pajamas. Some are just getting out of bed. Probably some are having breakfast and having steak and eggs and enjoying a hot cup of coffee. You know, I was just thinking how the hope that we have in Christ really is the hope that we have is just in Christ is so unbelievable. No matter how we are facing or feeling today, we don't have to go by our feelings, but we can go by what the Word of God says. You know, the Word of God is always has been true, and God never goes back on a promise. He never goes back what He promises. And we can take that to the bank. No matter what we are facing today, God is bigger than our problems, no matter what we're facing. And what a testimony of the goodness of the Lord, that we could worship Him and praise Him no matter where we're at in this life. You know, I know the last month or so, we started to hear about the COVID-19. Most recently, it has impacted our lives closer to home. We hear all over the news how contagious the virus is and how it spreads. You know, I think personally, what is more contagious than the virus is fear. You know, it's amazing how fear can take hold of us. And we see that today. It's good to practice good hygiene and wash your hands. It's all good. I'm not counting that. But to be caught up in the fear of what is happening is very contagious. And it spreads like wildfire. And people are become very when fear happens, people are very paralyzed. You know, I looked up in the dictionary about what fear is. Fear is an emotion induced by perceived danger or threat, which causes physiologically changes and ultimately behavior changes, such as fleeing, hiding, or freezing from perceived traumatic events. Fear in human beings may occur in response to a certain stimulus occurring in the present. Isn't that so true today? Or anticipation or expectation of the future that perceived as a risk to oneself. We see how fear grows and takes root in our lives, and we become paralyzed. We become slaves to that fear. Our behavior change, and we do not think with an objective mind. You know, without emotion behind how we think. I took the opportunity of shutting the news off. Because if we listen to too much of the downsay in the fear mongering, we will get paralyzed. When I was preparing for today, I think of the promises that God has given His children, the ones who are His disciples, the ones who have put their faith and their trust in Christ alone. I think of 2 Timothy 1, 7 to 8, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Do not be ashamed of me either." This is Paul. "Even though I'm in prison for Him, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer for me for the sake of the good news." And today I want to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. We sung of the good news this morning of Jesus Christ. When we face fear of the unknown, our hope in Christ can grow even faster. You know, may I suggest to replace panic with the peace of God. In Matthew 11, we'll turn to that. Matthew 11, I know I read this last week, and sometimes it's really good to keep on reading certain scripture to remind us. But Jesus, here's the good news. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that good news? It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." And all of us sometimes are feeling a little weary and burdened. He says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." You know, when you rest in the Lord, he gives you his peace. I think of when they were in the boat and, you know, the disciples were, the storm was all around and they were panicking. And Jesus was at rest. He had peace. The peace that we can have, it only comes from heaven. We can only have peace in Christ alone. When Jesus says, "Come to him," he expresses the desire and the compassionate heart of a Savior and his appeal for the people to come to know him intimately. That is the good news. He wants us to come to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to trust him and to lay down all our fears, all our burdens. We will face burdens. We will face hardships. But the good news is, when we go through those things, through those trials like this time, but we could have the peace of God if we trust him. He's the one who sustains us through our trials and our tribulations. He calms the storm so we're able to go through them with perfect peace. And that's the good news. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. To tell God what you need and to thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ alone." He guards our hearts. He guards our minds as we live and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And only in him that we can have perfect peace. When you have anxiety, we can come to Christ in faith at any time. That's the good news. It's amazing for us as believers in Christ to remind ourselves of the good news that we have received and to share the good news to those who are hopeless currently in our day and age. That's the good news, that we share the good news. And to come to him in faith at any time, and he will give you his hope, he will give you his peace, he will give you his assurance. In order to face the troubles here on earth, he will strengthen you and guide you through whatever you may be facing today. It's him that sustains us. It is Christ alone that gives us the strength to face whatever we are going through today. You know, the scripture says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles as itself." So don't be thinking about tomorrow, but be thinking of what today, how this today is a gift from God. I love John 14, 1. It says, Jesus said this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me." And it was Jesus saying that. John 14, 27 says, "I am leaving you a gift." I shared this last week. Jesus is, he's leaving us a gift. The gift is a peace of mind and heart. Do you desire to open that gift that God has freely given you today? It's a gift. Don't be afraid to open it and to receive it. Christ is the gift. Christ is the peace that brings peace to all our understanding. Even when we feel hopeless in our time, Christ is the rock of our salvation. So don't be afraid or troubled. As we meditate on Scripture, maybe this week we could meditate on John 14, 27. You know, when the rest of the world lives in fear, we can share with confidence the good news to those loved ones, to those neighbors, to share the good news, to share the gospel with them in love and in truth. You know, replace the what ifs with faith that is the hope that the Holy Spirit can and will accomplish in your life. When you put your hope and trust in Christ, don't worry about what if. What about this? What about that? Because a lot of times the what ifs makes us start thinking about those issues. What if you keep your eyes fixed on Christ today?
Amen.
What if you put your hope and trust in Christ alone today? What would happen when we put our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith? What if we put our hope and we abide in Christ alone today? What will happen? John 14 says, "I will give you," he gives us a gift of peace. That we don't have to worry and be fearful of tomorrow, but we have confidence of the one who sits on the throne, who is right now interceding for you and presenting you before his glorious presence with great joy and without fault. That's the confidence that we as believers have. The good news. I want to share about the good news that heals the spiritual sickness. Jesus came for those who weren't healthy. He came for those who were sick. He came for the sinners like you and me. He came for the broken, who are in need, who are lost. Jesus reaches out to the lost that religion rejects. Because religion says you have to be perfect. You have to be a certain way before you come to God. The good news, Jesus calls. And you respond out of that. And he's the one that saves you. He's the one that changes you. And makes you holy and blameless before the Father. That's the good news. That we don't do this. It's Him, it's the Holy Spirit that works inside every believer that changes and works upon our hearts. Have you ever, I don't want to go down this rabbit trail, but have you ever felt you were never good enough? Perhaps you thought, how can a holy God want me? to have a relationship with me. You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob created you to have fellowship with him. Perhaps you have said and done things you have regretted. The good news is that Jesus came for those who are messed up. He came for those who have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of holiness. That's the good news. We are not made right with God by our own goodness or good works or even with our own religious efforts. We are not made good by our own goodness. Let that sink in. We are not good enough. Christ makes us good enough. We are made right with God because Jesus' sacrifice was blameless, holy, and he was the scapegoat for mankind's sin. You know, when Jesus went onto the cross, he was on the cross, and all the sin of the world was placed onto him at that moment. That's the love of God. He was the scapegoat that we could have freedom when we come to him, that we could have be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father when we repent of our sinful ways and confess him with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, and he died and rose again in 3 days. That's good news. In a few weeks, we'll be celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus sits now at the right hand of the Father. And as I said before, he's right now interceding for you, presenting you holy and blameless before the Father. The Father sees you through the eyes of Christ, because Jesus stands before us. You praise the Lord for his mercy and grace while we were still sinners. Jesus died for us. This reveals the mercy and grace of a loving and merciful God, that his desire is to redeem and reconcile the lost. I know I was lost. Maybe anybody at home can say, you know what, I am lost, or I have been lost. I didn't have hope until the day I encountered the resurrected Lord who changed my life. I'm no longer the same person that I was before I came to Christ. And I praise God for that. You know, there is hope. The good news is Jesus. And as we turn to John 3:16, I know a lot of us know this scripture. But I want also, so 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned. You know, Jesus qualifies the world for atonement. However, not everybody receives the gift that Jesus offers. There is a choice, there is a free will. The choice is ours, to receive him or not. As a child, as a child of God, we become boldly to the throne of God to have fellowship and relationship with the Lord. And I pray that people will receive the gift of Christ to receive Jesus as their Lord and salvation. You know, the word for Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means salvation. He's the Savior of the world. I want to go into 1 Corinthians 15, 1-9. It's a New Living Translation. It says, this is Paul speaking here. He says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe in the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place." It's amazing how sometimes we can believe something that's not true, and it can lead us astray. There's so many strange doctrines, false hope. But the good news is that Jesus is the hope of this world. He is the only hope. "I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures say. He was seen by Peter and by the 12. After that, Jesus was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom still alive. Some of them have died. The Jesus was seen by James and later by the apostles. Last of all, as though I have been born at a wrong time, I saw him." This is Paul. Paul says this. You know how I asked, "Maybe you thought you're never good enough. How can God love me? How can God want a relationship with me? Look at the things I've done." Paul's going to say this. "For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I am not worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." Paul hurt many people. However, the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and radically changed Paul's life forever. Before Paul encountered Jesus, Paul's name was Saul of Tarsus. When he met Jesus, Jesus did not also change who he was, but he changed his name. He gave him a new life, a new hope, a new purpose, a new opportunity to share his zeal for God to those who were in need. Saul's life previous to his conversion was terrible. He did great atrocities against the church. He went against, he even says he was a chief of sinners. He did a lot of wicked things. But when Christ met him on that road, his life changed. The good news is that Jesus can radically change your life as you place your faith and trust in Christ alone. That's the good news. That I don't have to strive to be good. I don't have to do good works to earn my way into heaven. What I need to do is bend my knee and receive Christ as my Lord and Savior and repent of my ways. Here's a biblical truth and reminder for believers in Jesus. We are carriers of faith and hope in the resurrected Lord. What you carry will affect people around you, and my hope is that the people in your sphere of influence will want what you carry. That's the good news. When we do not operate out of fear, But we have this peace that we could share with our friends and our families and our neighbors. That's the good news. When people say, why are you not fearful what's happening today? Because my hope and my faith and trust and alone, my confidence is in the resurrected Lord, where I have my full hope, my full assurance, and my full trust. Because his word says he would never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave his children. He's there, he's here, he's even at your home today. And he's working upon your hearts. Share the good news. Share, instead of sharing fear, share good news. Think of it when good news happens, it spreads. It moves rapidly. It impacts people. Throughout the Bible, we see how the good news, when it was taught in different cities, how people repented and how the numbers of believers came to Christ. You think of Nineveh. When Jonah did not want to go and preach the good news of the Lord, of repentance, he tried to run away. And how many times have we as believers want to run away and not to share the good news? But God got a hold of them. And Jonah went and preached the good news. And from the king down to every single person repented and turned their ways to the Lord. We see in the New Testament how when the good news was preached, people repented of their ways and turned from their wickedness and put their hope and faith in Christ alone. That's the good news. There is hope for the hopeless. The good news for us believers, God can be trusted. His word is true. You know, as we share the good news, as we have empathy for others, we encourage others, we help others in need, and pray for the people, we are revealing the love of Christ to them. We are being the salt and the light in this world to reveal Jesus Christ to others. In Acts 15, Acts 17-20. Oh, I'm in the wrong. Sorry, I gotta go to Acts. Good thing I didn't start reading. I was in Acts 15. Acts 5. Did I say Acts 15? You guys can't respond. Maybe you can put the little comment on it below. So Acts 5. Sorry. Acts 5. Acts 5, 17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in jail, in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. The angel says, go stand in the temple court, he said, and tell the people of the full message of this new life. That's the one part in there I want us to grab. Go and stand in the temple court, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. That's the good news. To walk in obedience, to continue to abide in what the Lord Jesus Christ is wanting us to do, to share the gospel, share the good news to those around us, and to encourage one another as believers. That's the good news as well. He wants us to encourage one another. In Acts 6:7, it says, "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly because of the good news. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Even the religious became to the faith." It's amazing how the word of God penetrates our very heart and how it changes us at the very core when we give our lives to Him and we trust Him and as we abide in Him. Let us take hold of the gospel. Let us be faithful. Let us run with endurance and perseverance in our Lord until His return. You know, I shared this thought this week and probably in a couple weeks ago, and I believe this virus is a wake-up call for the body of Christ. I shared that even last week, how there has to come a time to get us out of our comfort zones, to wake us up, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Go and make disciples. Share with people, why do we have faith in Christ? I pray that our relationship, when we share, it wouldn't be just because of us living through somebody else, but we would have an actual personal encounter with the Lord, and we could share how the Lord met us on that road and how He has changed us. Share how the Lord has dramatically changed your life and how He is still working in your life. You know, to stand firm in Christ, to share the good news, to walk in boldness, to trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit, to walk in faith and abide in our Redeemer, the healer, provider that goes to train. My hope is in the one who created. My hope is in the one who created the heavens and the earth, who put everything in motion. I put my hope in the one who created me in my mother's womb. I put my hope in the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the one who has never changed. My hope is in Jesus, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, the one who heals the blind, who gives us new eyes to see the truth, who removes the scales from our eyes and removes and gives us new hearts, who takes away our hard hearts. That's the one who I have my hope in. He gives us eyes to see the truth, because He says His word will set us free. Who opens deaf ears to hear the truth of the gospel. And that's good news. Who has the power to raise the dead and give eternal life. Who place their faith and the trust and the hope in Jesus Christ. That's good news. If you don't know Jesus, He is the door for everlasting peace. He is the hope. He is their assurance. One that can sustain you when you put your hope in Him. In John I want to finish with a couple scriptures. In John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on giving us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. These are spiritual truths. This is our spiritual food. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. When we come to the Lord in humility and humbleness, he will never drive you away. He will receive you and give you a new life. He will put assurance, his assurance, in your heart and will seal you with his Holy Spirit to be a mark that you belong to our Heavenly Father. And do my will, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who has sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. I shall loose none of that has been given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and will raise him up on the last day. Amen. That is the hope that we have. Though this world is perishing, we have our place is in heaven. That's where our hope is in the kingdom of God. Our hope should not be in this world. Our hope should not be in the things that we can acquire here. Although they're good, but don't put your hope in those alone. That's like sand that just washes away when the storm comes. All those things just run away. But when we put our hope and our faith and trust in Christ, who is the solid rock, when the storm comes, we could withstand that storm because of our hope and our trust and our faith in Christ alone. In Romans 3, But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood, which cleanses us from all sin. His blood redeems us. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Because of his forbearance, he had left sins completely committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice in present time so as to be just and to the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. When we put our hope in Christ, he justifies us. Amen. In Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news. As believers, we share the good news to a world that maybe is feeling despair today. I pray that we would not hold the good news of Jesus Christ to ourselves, but we would share the good news of the gospel to those, and that we would encourage one another today. You know, as I think of the good news, I wouldn't be here because of the good news. My life would not have been changed if I never heard the good news. When I repented of my ways and I bent my knee to the Lord, and I said, Lord, forgive me for how I'm falling short. Forgive me for not trusting you or abiding in you because I didn't know you. But Lord, thank you that you have opened up my eyes of my heart to reveal that I need a Savior. And thank you, Lord, that you are the Savior that I need. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that prepares our hearts to be able to receive the good news. And Lord, as we put our faith and our trust in you alone, Lord, that we would be quick to repent and get right with you. Lord, that we would not hold on bitterness or resentment towards others. Father God, that we would forgive those as freely as you freely forgiven us. Lord, as we trust in you today, I pray, Father, that the church would spread and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, that the church would be the salt and the light in this world where darkness feels like it's closing in. But I thank you, Lord, that your light is more powerful, that it takes down strongholds, reveals everything that is not of you. And Lord, I pray against this spirit of fear. Lord, I pray that you would lift the spirit of fear off your children. And I pray, Lord, that those who put their faith and their trust and their hope in Christ alone today, Lord, that you would lift that spirit of fear off of them. And that, Father, that you would put your peace into their hearts. That, Father, they would have full assurance of who they are now in Christ. Father, I just pray that as we yield to you, that our and Lord, that we would trust you. That we would trust you no matter what we think. But Lord, we would trust you because of what your word says. So Lord, I just pray But your church would just share the good news. Lord, that we would pray for those who are in fear today. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, I just pray that as we share the good news, Lord, that we would share of your mercy and your grace to others. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for meeting us here today from your chairs, the comforts of home. I just pray that we would be the hands and feet of our Lord, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, that we walk in full assurance of a resurrected Lord, to be hopeful for what is yet to come, and that is Him returning soon to take us home. But my hope is